Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys,
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Well, hello.
Oh, hi.
It's been so long.
So long. I hadn't even got up out of my chair.
Well, thank you for being here today. I am sharing the story.
Are you thanking me?
I'm thanking you're at my everyone.
House. Oh, okay. I was like, you're at my house, so you're welcome.
I'm so happy to be here. So today we're talking about the haunting of Jackie Hernandez, or the San Pedro haunting.
I don't think I know anything about this.
It's pretty creepy, if it's true. Of course, there's always that,
yeah.
That wonder.
It's true.
It is true. I think it could be true, because the hauntings, I'll just get into it. How about that?
Well, I saw this thing yesterday that said, I believe in you, but I also believe in Bigfoot, so don't get too excited. And I really held on to that, because I feel like that's, I'm just going to start saying that to people.
I thought you meant that for me.
Sorry, but you were saying no about believing, you know, like, if this is true. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to choose to believe it is true, because it's, well, I don't know the story, maybe not, but
yeah.
I'll let you know at the end if I'm going to choose to believe it or not.
Well, the following is a true story based on multiple accounts of strange events that happened one summer in San Pedro.
Is that Southern California?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know Southern. I just know it's in California.
Oh, I like how you just quickly agreed to it.
It's like, yes, of course.
Somewhere in California this happens.
Probably is Southern, but I don't know the map very well. So.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. But I think most of the, like, the Spanish sounding ones are probably mm-hmm. closer to Mexico, I would assume.
That makes sense. All right. So at the age of 23, Jackie Hernandez had left her husband and she moved from LA to San Pedro, California to start a new life with her 2-year-old son. As a young single mother.
San Pedro is a neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Okay. Is it in South? I guess it's in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me look at like a bigger map. So it's more Southern California, Los Angeles, which is north of San Diego, but it's still, when you look at California as a whole, I mean, it's way under San Francisco, Monterey, Sacramento. So yeah, it's Southern California, but it's a part of LA.
Okay. Well,
Hollywood. I just watched that last night too.
Oh, that's fun.
It's Halloween season for me in March.
Okay.
Gotta start. It's time.
So as a young single mother, Hernandez was subjected to a number of stressful realities. Even without the shift in location, she was working multiple jobs all while she was pregnant with her second child. So she left her husband, like, while she was pregnant.
What time period is this?
This is 1989.
Okay.
I don't think I said that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, in the 80s, at least, right?
It's 89, 90.
Oh, okay.
The spooky happenings Hernandez experienced were small at first. She heard some unexplainable sounds, such as high-pitched screeching coming from inside of her walls.
That sounds horrible.
I know.
Like a human screech?
I think so. I mean, I guess it could sound like a bird, but...
I don't like that.
A screeching, just, it's gross.
Bird in your wall, that ain't right either.
Yeah, no, it ain't. Or the shuffling of something moving around in the attic. One night, while Hernandez and a friend were cooking, they saw several orbs of light. Whoa, the screen just scrolled. I'm sorry. That was creepy. It just jumped.
Do you know what was weird?
What?
Is my phone and my iPad at the same time shut off on me the other day.
Oh, that's weird.
Like,
at the same time?
Yeah, because like sometimes I watch a show on the iPad and I was doing something completely different on my phone and they both just shut off. Like my phone decided it was going to die and my iPad just like shut off. It didn't die though.
That's weird.
I was like, why did that happen at the same time? Like it gave me the goosebumps.
Yeah, that's a little worrisome.
Although sometimes I talk about this house being haunted. I need to do Palo Santo more regularly. When I don't do it, I notice there's like weird things that happen.
Yeah.
So I need to.
Shouldn't make that like a Sunday night ritual or Monday night.
I should. Yeah, it should be my Sunday. Start the week off with good vibes.
Yeah. So she saw several orbs of light float through the room. When Hernandez tried to take a picture, she saw a face. face of an emaciated old man staring at her through the window. And she looked outside, and of course, nobody was there. So she ended up calling some priests, and they came to her house and did a little cleansing. But then Child Protective Services was called by the priests once they left.
Oh, I hate that.
And they showed up and to see if Hernandez was using any drugs or anything.
So wait, did the priest not think it was haunted and thought, like, this lady's just high?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I know.
I hate that. That's the stuff that makes you, like, not trust people. Because you're like, no, you're going to think I'm crazy. You're going to take my children away. And then you don't get help and it gets worse.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I always wonder if these stories are true or not. Because, like, so many things happen along the way. And, you know, the CPS is called on you. That really freaking sucks. But yeah. At least she didn't lose her kids.
Yeah.
Even this early in the haunting, Hernandez must have felt trapped. After giving birth to her daughter, Samantha, the hauntings did not slow down. In fact, the weird occurrences grew exponentially more frightening. Once while Hernandez was bringing in the groceries, she noticed the magnets on her refrigerators, the letters they spelled, "Get the hell out."
Okay.
I know. There were no signs of a break-in. Nothing in her home had been moved, so it must have just been an otherworldly entity. Later that evening, after her kids had gone to bed, Hernandez began to hear raspy breathing, which would scare the shit out of me.
So some previous, like, smoker. Yeah. Being like, sorry to anybody that is listening. Sorry if you have ears.
That was a really that was sexy gross. Sound.
Because we both had to do our interpretation of it.
She followed the sound to her son's bedroom, where she discovered what looked like an old, wretched man sitting next to her son, staring her down emotionlessly.
Oh, I don't like that.
With burning red eyes.
Oh, no. Red eyes. That's not even a ghost.
I know. That's like a demon or... I don't know. Get out of my house.
Yeah. Well, it told her to get the hell out, so...
Yeah. After giving her the malicious glare, the ghost vanished into thin air. However, this frightening encounter would only be the beginning of the nightmare, as it would not take long for the spirit to make his own violent intentions known.
Mm-mm, I don't like that.
I know. So, she worked long hours at various menial jobs. And you know what? When I wrote this, I read it mental at least 3 or 4 times.
Instead of
And I realized it says menial.
Well, at least you read it the correct way.
Yeah.
She had a lot of mental jobs.
I thought it was like mentally tasking. But menial. Okay. And she would usually drop her to... kids off with her friend and her neighbor, Susan Castenda. However, one summer morning, Jackie showed up to Susan's door. She was in a state of panic, and after calming down, she told Susan about what she had just seen over at her house. She told her that the ghoulish figure in her son's bedroom, and that she was hearing strange noises coming from the attic the last few days. Susan knew that Jackie had seen a ghost, and she knew exactly who to call. Dr. Barry Taff.
Oh.
So Dr. Barry Taff received the phone call from Susan, in which she explained the urgency of the matter. She told him that her neighbor was afraid of going back to her own house. This is the neighbor talking to Barry, not Jackie.
Okay.
She said she was afraid to go back to her house, and she told him that there were 2 small children involved as well. Doctor showed up to the residence as soon as he could, and he brought with him his friend and an accomplished cameraman, Barry Conrad. There were also a few associates of Dr. Taff involved in the first visit to Jackie's house. Upon entering the residence, the investigators were hit by a putrid stench that filled the air.
I hate that more than anything.
I know.
Bad smells are the worst.
Yeah.
It's so offensive. I think I'm most sensitive in my, like out of my senses, I think.
You are most sensitive. Smell.
Yes. Sure.
The overwhelming stench of death and decay. They couldn't find the source of the smell, so they decided to air out the tiny bungalow as best they could and prepared for their investigation. Dr. Taff, a parapsychologist, was getting down to the preliminary round of questions with Jackie when a loud crash came from the attic. Everyone froze. Boom. Another one. This time it was louder. Jackie made her way to the kitchen and pointed towards the ceiling. She told the investigators that it was coming from the attic and that she knew exactly what it was. That it was the severed head that she had seen floating around up there.
What? She had seen a severed head floating around?
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, I'm familiar. It's just a severed head that floats
just
around.
Just a severed head. Just woo.
That reminds me of Santa Clarita Diet.
Real? Oh, the guy, yeah.
Yeah, is he another realtor?
Yeah, he is a realtor.
It's like her enemy realtor.
I kind of rewatched that not too long ago.
In case y'all never knew, realtors always have another realtor enemy. It's yes. Like so true.
Yes.
You always have like your little nemesis realtors.
Yeah, well, just like us, Dr. Taff and the rest of them stood in disbelief as to what Jackie actually just said. Which I would
too. I'm in disbelief right now. She's like, oh, that's just the severed head. What? Say more, Jackie.
Yes. That's so ridiculous. So the investigators opened the attic door that was in the kitchen and hoisted themselves up along with cords and camera equipment. They found nothing besides junk, dust, and cobwebs. Back in the living room, Jackie admitted to everyone of having heard what sounded like, to her, a muffled voice coming from the attic a few months before. One day, she decided to investigate the voice, and she popped her head through the attic door. Armed with only a flashlight, Jackie saw nothing or nobody inside the dark, dusty attic. However, when she shined the light in a corner, she told the investigator that a floating, disembodied head came at her. Jackie said that she had never gone up there since and hasn't told anyone about it until now, which...
How can you not? I'm sorry. I'm not going to say everybody because I realize that's probably not true, but I would definitely tell you. Mm-hmm. I'd tell Casey. I would tell a few of my close friends. There would be a minimum of 10 people that would know.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah, I feel like I would tell everyone, not just like you, a select few
I'd
people,
probably share it here on the podcast too, because I wouldn't get over it.
I know. Like, how do you?
It's a no.
Disembodied head. Jackie said she'd never gone up there since and hasn't told anyone about it until now. She said that weeks prior, soda cans as well as other random objects were flung at her by unseen hands. And okay. She also told them about finding mysterious puddles of water-like substance around her house.
What? In the house?
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not pee-pee.
That's what you think of because you have dogs.
I know. Four dogs. Just, yes, I always think of pee.
Yeah. Well, her babies could have peed. Who knows?
I hope so.
Jackie was able to show them where, and Dr. Taff proceeded to collect samples of the oozing liquid that was coming from the cupboards. Later, analysis resulted in the liquid being human blood plasma.
No.
Yes. It was actually the blood of a man with a heavy iodine and copper content. Jackie was questioned about it, but she claimed she knew nothing about the blood.
Sorry, can I just make a side note that nobody ever has told me anything about copper in my blood until recently, so it's kind of weird you're saying that this blood had heavy copper content, because I feel like that I didn't even know that was in my blood.
Do you have heavy copper?
No, but they've tested me. Like, okay. So I asked my doctor, because I do a blood test every quarter, and I was like, it was more than it usually is, and I was like, why is that more than normal? And she was like, oh, we're doing copper testing. And I was like, what? Do I need copper? Do I have copper? There's copper? Like, I know there's iron. I just didn't think about other metals, I guess.
Yeah, there are quite a few in there.
So it's weird that you say that when I feel like I only just learned this and now you're saying it.
Well, I have missed my chance to help you learn something before.
Other things are in my blood.
Yes.
Nickel? Gold? Platinum?
I don't think platinum.
Maybe gold, though?
I don't think gold.
Okay. Clearly, I was not a science person.
Blood of all the investigators. Wait.
What?
Blood that all the investigators saw ooze out of the wooden cupboards. Sorry.
They saw it. They witnessed it too.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they had it tested.
Well, that brings more credibility to the story. It wasn't just Jackie.
Yeah. When questioned about the ghostly vision, Jackie confessed to them that she had seen the gnarled old man sitting in her dining room table before, sitting in the dark, just staring at her.
What? How do you go about your freaking day after that? That's what I don't understand when people are like, yes, this has been happening for a while. How? There's no way that half my neighborhood wouldn't know about it. You know, like there's just...
Okay. Would you run out of your house screaming?
I feel like
something?
I would. Like I would, I'd be talking to Samantha next door. Like I would be going crazy.
Yeah.
Because I would need to know, is this my house? Are we all experiencing a haunting? Is this something that's happening in the neighborhood? Like, is this a neighborhood haunting?
Neighborhood.
But you know what? It could be. Has anybody ever thought about that? That the fact that like something can happen on a large area of land that could now be a mm-hmm. suburb and you could be getting multiple hauntings.
I don't.
But then people don't talk about it because they're like, no, you're going to think I'm crazy.
I don't know what the name of it is, but there is a neighborhood. I think it's in California that might be. haunted. Or I can't think of the freaking story, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. But
I think you're thinking of the movie Poltergeist.
Really? I haven't seen that movie in a long time, so I don't know why I would be thinking
Poltergeist
of it.
Is in, I'm pretty positive it's in California, and it's built on a graveyard.
Yeah,
I but all they that. Did was move the headstones. And so I think it's happening in more than one house, technically.
Got it.
Or I could be wrong. It's been a few years since I've seen the movie. It hasn't been like more than a decade.
When we went to the haunted thing in, what is the place called? We
did the Old
haunted
Spring?
Tour. Yeah. Okay. We did the haunted tour. They talked about it then.
You know, we went on that tour twice and we still haven't done an episode about it.
It's true.
That's so stupid. Okay. Maybe that's what we need to do next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We each talk about
next episode. Old Town Spring.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've done that twice. And we did have a weird experience last time.
Yeah. That girl.
She fainted.
She passed out. That was crazy.
Yeah. She just visited the Winchester house yesterday or the day before. She does a lot of haunted stuff all over the country.
That's brave of her. She passes out.
Right. She passed out the Old Town Spring one. But yeah, she also went to the Villisca Axe Murder house and the Sally house. And she's posted a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, oh, dang. Okay, that did not deter you when you passed out.
No, it didn't. She was like, I'm ready for more.
Yeah, she may be a sensitive. I don't know.
Okay. So after a few hours of questioning and photographing Jackie's place, the team decided to call it a night. They were packing up their gear when one of the assistants asked the photographer, Jeff Weechcraft, to go up to the attic and take a few final shots of it empty. Barry Conrad accompanied Jeff. While they were up there shooting pictures, something grabbed a hold of Jeff's camera and threw it across the attic.
Okay. Well, this might make Jackie feel good, though.
Yeah,
not good. Like, I don't want anybody to get hurt. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Like, you're all experiencing this. It's not just me.
Yeah.
Especially, like, violent spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to feel personally attacked. Like, you better be mad at everybody that comes at you.
Yeah, same. Before Jeff could react, Barry saw that he was shoved by the same phantom hands that snatched his camera. When they both came down from the attic, Jeff's face was pale white. Nothing more happened that night in Jackie's house. It wasn't until September 4th, which I like how it's September 4th, but I don't know when the other dates are. Like,
1994.
I know it was 1989 to 1990, and it's September 4th.
Okay, either 1989 or 1990.
Yes. When Jackie called Barry Conrad at midnight, telling him that there was more activity in the house now, and it was becoming difficult to live there. Barry, Jeff, and the assistant photographer, Gary, quickly reached Jackie's house. They came with the state-of-the-art equipment and were ready to capture the happenings going on inside. On the second visit, the investigators were able to film several small, sometimes large, I'm so sorry.
Watching you do that was so funny.
Okay. Corpuski. I don't know how to say this word.
Corpuski.
Oh my gosh. On the second visit, the investigators were able to film several small, sometimes large, corpuscular masses of light. In other words, small globes of light that traveled across and through the rooms. They were able to film the unexplained light zooming in and out of the place. Jeff and Gary went up to the attic. Dun, dun, dun.
Where there are severed heads floating.
I know. So Jeff wanted to determine what happened to him just a few weeks ago. Like, that's so funny. What happened to me?
Yeah. Maybe you need to sit back and analyze it.
Perhaps. When he was up in the attic with Barry Conrad. So as they both snapped away, nothing was happening. Snapping in their camera. I kind of worded that weird. Gary mentioned that they should probably go back downstairs. When they were making their way back, Jeff let out a huge gasp. As Gary turned around, he snapped a photograph in total darkness. The flash momentarily illuminated his friend's terror-stricken face. Jeff had been hung up on a rafter by a pair of unseen hands.
Oh.
It's super creepy. I have a picture at the bottom, but I don't want to scroll down.
Do we want to... Sorry, that was a weird way to ask it. Do we know something happened in this house? Like, did somebody get hanged?
We know somebody was murdered.
Oh, okay. We're going to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
I will. In that moment, Barry, Jackie, and Susan all heard the commotion coming from upstairs.
Was that one of my children?
It was a dog.
Oh.
They quickly gathered around the attic entrance to help down a disheveled and confused looking Jeff. No shit, he's confused.
No shit, Jeff.
God. His clothes were covered in spider webs and dust. His face was completely flushed of color. Around Jeff's neck was a tight noose that left a red mark across his neck. When Jeff was able to compose himself, he told them he was making his way down right behind Gary when he felt someone put the noose around his neck and yank hard and hoist him up the rafter.
Oh, God, I'm so neck sensitive. That sounds horrible. Like, I don't like anybody getting near my neck. It always weirds me out. Like, I swear I was, like, hanged or choked in another life.
I don't think you were. I hope not.
Well, I hope not, but I always feel so sensitive when people get near my neck. Or, like, it was so weird. Jenny and I were talking about this the other day. A good friend of mine. Like, wearing turtlenecks, too. I always feel like I'm holding out the turtleneck because I just, like, I can't stand it touching my neck. It just weirds me out. I don't even own any turtlenecks.
I own a few. They don't bother me. Do you think in another life, like, if you did live another life, that you and I are sisters? Or is that another life?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Just hit me.
Okay, I'm going to think about it.
Yeah.
Did I know you before?
I wonder.
I don't know. It's weird because, like, I consider myself a Christian, but I always talk about a past life. Not, like, I don't talk definitively. Like, I know I had this past life, but I just think of sensitivities I have now, which makes me think I had a past life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always feel like they come from an experience. Like, why would I hate things touching my neck unless something happened to me that makes me hate people touching my neck?
Yeah, I think I'm on my first life. Like, I'm brand new.
You're fresh and brand new. This is like Phoebe and Joey. Oh, sweetie, you're brand new.
Yes.
Maybe you are brand new. You're just my sister for the first time in this life.
Maybe.
Maybe I'm old.
You are. You have an old soul.
Well, people say that all the time. You wonder if old souls, though, like, had other experiences, and they just, that's why they're old souls.
Yeah.
Okay. You're new. I'm not. You're my sister for the first time in this life. We decided it.
Okay.
Got
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. I just did the same freaking thing. I'm going to throw this iPad away. Okay. So that would be the last time that Jeff had ever set foot in the San Pedro house. He was like, hell nah. The activity continued for several months to a lesser extent. There were random lights that appeared through Jackie's house and spectral voices that were still coming from the attic. The voices would really terrify me. The overpowering stench also seemed to come and go with time. Shortly after the San Pedro incident, Jackie had moved to Kern County, which is a small and rural area about 380 miles north of Los Angeles. When she had reported to the team that the activity had followed her, Jeff and Barry made their way up north.
That's how you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert, but that's what makes you think it's, like, not a ghost if it's following her.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like more evil entities follow you.
Yeah.
Like, ghosts, I feel like, haunt spaces. Like, demons follow people.
Yep, they sure do. So, Jeff and Barry had made their way up north. They wanted to capture more activity on film. Jeff felt that as long as he was nowhere near the house on San Pedro, he would be fine. The seance was arranged by one of Jackie's neighbors, and Barry and Jeff sat in to observe. And just imagining moving from one place to another and his neighbors, like, arranging a seance, like, how fast did you talk about it? And, like,
yeah,
what are you saying to people? That's just a little weird to me.
It is weird.
So Barry and Jeff sat in to observe. Simple questions like, are you a ghost, were answered with the planchette moving towards the written yes on the board.
No. God, I freaking hate the Ouija board so much.
I don't even like looking at it.
I don't,
like,
either.
Just don't talk about it. When the team pressed on about the spirit's former life, it told him that he had been murdered in the harbors of San Pedro. Barry asked, how many ghosts are there in here? And he was given an unnerving answer. Phantoms fill the skies around you.
What does that mean?
I know, that scares me.
Fills the skies? That sounds unlimited. That Not is. Fills your house. At least I know, okay, it's just in my house. Fills the skies? What does that mean? I don't like that.
They had asked why it had targeted Jeff, and it replied that he resembled his killer.
Well, that's unfortunate for Jeff.
I know. When asked why it targeted Jackie, it replied with energy. They asked, what kind of energy? Dead was its response.
What does that mean? She dying?
No. Whatever it was that was communicating via the Ouija board had signed off telling them, I must go now, the sun cometh.
What, did they spell that on the with the planchette? That's a that's a sentence.
I know.
Instead of like, gotta go, like, I would gotta forget, go, the sun cometh. Like, oh, okay, thanks.
I would forget what letters were already said, so it would be totally useless.
Also, for me. Now I'm really curious as to when this person was murdered, that they're saying the sun cometh.
It had to be a long time ago.
Because I would really confuse the hell out of people if I started talking like that. But they were like, she died in 2058. Like, like not in the 1800s or yeah. something.
The sun cometh.
The sun cometh.
I will just start talking like that when I'm an old lady.
Yeah. Well, maybe me too.
Shortly after this last message, Jeff has again was...
This is...
I'm so sorry. Jeff was again shoved by unseen hands, throwing him back against the wall. Although the cameras were rolling at the time, they captured nothing as the equipment began to malfunction as soon as they stepped foot inside Jackie's house.
Always malfunctions.
I know. Those damn ghosts. Jeff recovered physically from his injuries. I like how it said that because he was just like pushed against the wall.
Yeah.
He recovered physically though.
Well, that's great.
However, the San Pedro case has left a deep, reminiscent scar in his psyche. Jackie Hernandez moved several other times, with each the activity would lessen, to the point where it completely stopped. Jackie Hernandez now lives in Los Angeles and has put the terrifying ordeal behind her. To this day, the house on 593 West 11th Street has seen many tenants come and go. Some of them have reported hearing strange bumps and sounds coming from the dusty, dark attic. As mentioned previously, the San Pedro haunting is one of the most documented cases of a haunted house. This is thanks to the photographic and film evidence captured by Hernandez and Barry Taft's team. In 1997, much of the footage was edited into a documentary called An Unknown Encounter, The True Account of the San Pedro Haunting. This even included the footage of Jeff Wheatcraft's near-death experience, which has become famous throughout the paranormal community. I wanted to say activity so bad.
I've been thinking of the movie Paranormal Activity this whole time. Because that also takes place in California, I'm pretty sure.
That movie's so scary.
That movie is scary. You guys that say it's not scary, honestly, I think something might be up with you. Because I find that movie terrifying and it affects me every time I watch it.
Yeah.
And I've only watched it a handful of times because I have to go like 2 years spacing it out. And I remember last time I watched it. Because it's when I went to the Metallica concert in, what's it called? Near Fort Worth. What's it?
Dallas?
No.
Just kidding.
No. Close. Arlington.
Okay.
And we watched it in August 2023. And now I feel like I'm going to end up watching it again soon because now I'm thinking about it. And it's going to make me feel weird again for a few days. Like, it's that movie always affects me.
Creepy.
Yeah. It is. And it's brilliant because you don't see anything. And it's the same feeling I got. I think Blair Witch Project came out when I was in about sixth grade. And mom took me to the theaters to see it. Yeah. And that movie, like, shook me for days. And I think movies like that, if you have a good imagination, will freak you the fuck out.
Yeah.
But if you don't, if you're not an imaginative person, because then there's, like, our brother. Like, he thinks Paranormal Activity is such a lame movie. Like, I feel like then you're not imagining what could be happening. Like, just...
Yeah. Put yourself in their shoes and then you're immediately scared.
Yeah. I just feel like you just don't have the imagination for it. Like, I don't need to see anything to be scared. And that's what Blair Witch taught me is, like, this movie is so brilliant in how I don't have to see anything. You can make it on a homemade camera and I believe everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I was on the fence if that was found footage or not. I was like, y'all... That might be found footage, and we're like the dicks that are watching this like it's entertainment. Like, yeah. Obviously, I was like sixth grade. But, yeah, both of those had such an effect on me. But really, like, witches, like, evil witches really freak me out.
Yeah.
Not like, Wiccan witches, who I believe are mostly positive people, but, like, those kinds of witches like that, when, like, children would disappear, no.
Yeah.
No.
That's too much.
No.
The release of the documentary spurred Jackie Hernandez and Barry Taft to be featured on a number of talk shows and such over the decades, which I wish I watched some of those. I probably should have for this episode.
That would have been great. You could report back on it.
I'll watch it soon, guys. I'll update you. Surprisingly, over this time of sharing this story, both together and separately, the events shared have remained consistent. Aside from a few insignificant details, both of them have told the same stories. And considering the two of them do not get along on a personal level nowadays, it speaks volumes that the two parties corroborate what happened. On top of the physical evidence of the paranormal events of the San Pedro home, there were multiple witnesses who would have no reason to lie. They range from Jamie and Samantha's babysitters to Jackie's friends and even skeptical assistants to Dr. Taff. With so much evidence compiled about this case, the inevitable skeptics have largely resorted to personal attacks on Jackie Hernandez. These are largely rooted in classism as a single mother with very little money.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know what? Even Paranormal Activity. No, not. No, part two. She was a single mom. She had a boyfriend, but she was a single mom.
Okay.
That just seems like that happens more often. And I think that's what, like, makes the victim, like, lose credibility is because people are like, oh, well, you're unmarried. You're probably paranoid. You're probably seeking attention. You're probably doing this.
It would suck if something happened to me. No one would believe me.
It's always, especially single women.
Yeah. Sorry, I kind of lost my spot here.
I believe you, Lainey.
Thanks. I appreciate you. If this were really happening, any reasonable woman would move out to protect her children, despite Jackie not having the financial means to do so. None of these address the root of the issue, however, leading many to wonder if there truly was a haunting in this little home in San Pedro, California. The end.
Wow. I'm interested to look up this house. California, I don't know, when I hear of weird hauntings and stuff, I don't know, California has a vibe. Like, there's an energy there that...
I felt it when I went there. Like, it's...
Really?
But it doesn't feel, like, haunted or scary, but there's like, a heaviness there.
Yeah. In our Halloween episode we did with Heath, he talked about that. Like, you really believe that there is an energy. And I'm not saying, like, every part of California, but especially around the LA area where he spent a lot of time and kind of near that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe it. There is some kind of vibe there.
Yeah, there definitely is, for sure. I don't plan on going back, but you guys can go. I'll vacay.
Okay. I'd like to, I mean, I want to go to, like, Tahoe and stuff. I want to go to, like, North California.
Yeah, I'd like to go north. I'll go with you there.
I mean, I am a Texan, you know, and, like, we have kind of a natural anti-California sort of mentality. We're just born with, sorry, Californians. Yeah, I'm not sure I ever really have a strong desire to go to LA. Like, I'm not really big on, like, celebrities and stuff like that anyway, but I'm interested in the spookiness. It's like I want to experience it just to be like, yep, I did it the one time. It's not a place I think I'd go vacation all the time.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But it would be interesting because we've done some California properties. Like, I want to go to the Winchester Mansion.
Yeah, you're just not there for the usual touristy stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Hotel Cecil. That one has a definite vibe. I'm not sure if I need to walk into it.
I already
know
that vibe. Like, it's feels dark. Thick and dark.
Yeah, exactly. It is dark. I don't think I need to experience it. The Winchester.
That doesn't feel dark to me.
Yeah, I want to go into it. It seems interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's the really dark ones where you know some characters were there. Deaths definitely happened there. Like, I don't know, Hotel Cecil, that has a vibe. And it's had a vibe for a long time of strange activity and strange happenings. So
that American Horror Story season was decent. That was a scary, like, it scared me.
The hotel one?
Mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga one?
I didn't love Lady Gaga, but yeah, it was a good season.
Yeah.
Not the best, but it was good.
I don't think I finished that season. I cannot recall finishing it. And you know, American Horror Story already has a vibe in and of itself. And maybe I brought this up before, but I was talking to Casey about it the other day, was the episode of, or not the episode, the Freak Show season.
Mm.
I thought that was my favorite season. And so I tried to go back and rewatch it.
And it's no longer your favorite.
It's no longer my favorite. And now I'm like, well, Asylum was my second favorite. Now I'm scared to go back to Asylum. I'm afraid I'm going to freaking hate it.
I feel like that one will stick.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that one will stick. That one, I don't know. Like, I remember a good amount from it that I think it'll stick. But Freak Show is, like, kind of sad to go back to.
Yeah.
I'm like, first off, I hate freaky clown figures.
Mm-hmm.
Hate them. And we were talking about this the other day. Like, there is a difference in, like, Pennywise from It
mm-hmm.
and, like, The Terrifier. Like somebody that has to dress up, because I don't like clowns and I don't like clown movies, but I'm like, why do I like It, but I don't like other clown movies? So I was kind of like analyzing it. I was like, It, I'm so excited for the show to come out.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Is it Welcome to Derry?
Yes.
I'm so excited because he's not supposed to be a clown in all of it. I don't think he's supposed to be whatever. He's a shapeshifter, ultimately, is what he is.
Oh, so and we're going to see more.
So we'll see different versions of whatever he was. He wasn't a clown for hundreds of years or thousands. We don't even know how long he is. He shapeshifts into whatever would have like attracted children or whatever. And so in the 80s, it would have been clowns because of like Pogo the Clown in the 60s, and like kids were still into clowns in the 80s. So it's interesting. So like so in modern day, he probably wouldn't dress up as a clown. It would have been something else. But back in like Native American days of, you know, 16, 17, 1800s, it was something like else. Because a clown would have been weird to walk up to you. That would make no sense out of context. You're like, what the hell are you? So I don't know. That's what's weird.
Like a Wendigo or somebody.
But even when you watch it, he shapeshifts into other things. Like he's a person for a little bit and then he shapeshifts into, yeah. So you see it more. So to me, that's not specifically a clown movie. He's really a shapeshifter. But then like the Terrifier, somebody that has to dress up in something and then like go murder people. Like that is in a it's so demented to me. I can't watch it.
He's a demon or he's not human. He's already dead.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was the problem, is I didn't fully know what the Terrifier was. I've not seen it. It doesn't even interest me to watch it.
No, I watched it. I just saw the third one was out when I was out there with your daughter. So I'm excited to watch that. But they are just totally fucked up movies.
Yeah, I guess it just seems really, it seems like seems like a Saw version of clowns. Like just very gory and I don't know. It's not for me.
I get it.
I'm not into the clowns.
All right. Well, if you guys would like to send us a recommendation or an interesting
like you just like bypass what I was saying. You're like, anyway.
We're ending this on clowns. You can email us at hauntedrepod@gmail.com. Please give us a follow on Instagram at haunted.real.estate. And please, if you could rate and review us, that would be awesome. This helps get us more listeners like you. And our Venmo is hauntedre. If you want to give us some money, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. And lastly, if you're looking for an agent in the Houston market, please give my beautiful sister Ashley or her husband / partner Casey a try. They would be honored to assist you in buying a home. Yeah.
So just go ahead and send that email to hauntedrepod@gmail.com and we'll get you to the right place.
Yeah, please do. Have a great day, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.